Good morning. A few months ago, when I was at my workplace, one of my coworkers made a comment. He was also from India. He was actually from northern part of India. And he said, "Johnson, when you speak, you sound like Winnie the Pooh." You know, most people who knows who have children know who Winnie the Pooh is, right? But I never really heard a recording of my own, audio recording of my own, you know, message or when I speak. So I don't know what it sounds like, but that's what he said. But, you know, just think of as God is bringing you a message through Winnie the Pooh, okay? And also remember, if he can make a donkey speak, he can definitely make Winnie the Pooh speak, right? Okay. Well, my topic this morning is the transforming power of the call of God in the life of a believer. The transforming power of the call of God in the life of a believer. Now, I want to say a few introductory statements before I get into the actual scriptural portion. And when we talk about the call of God, we usually think that, you know, there are certain individuals who are called by God, and they are equipped by God on, you know, for certain tasks. And you know, but we are Christians, you know. We are followers of Christ. We are not really called to do anything great, you know. We just follow Christ. I mean, that's what we usually think. But the scripture is very clear that all of us, all those who are believers are called by God. And it is true that God, you know, calls some individuals separately, specifically for some tasks to accomplish, such as we know about Moses. You know, God called him and gave him a task to take the people of Israel to lead them through the wilderness towards the promised land. And we know also that the prophets of the Old Testament times, you know, they were called to speak to the people, to let them know the mind of God, the message from God. And in the New Testament, we know Paul was actually called to take the gospel specifically to the Gentiles. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. But the scripture is very clear that all of us have a calling, and all of us who are believers are called by God. You know, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, I think our brother spoke about this last week when he was here, is that it says, we know that all things, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, we all know this verse, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. That's what Paul says in Romans. And Paul also says in 1 Corinthians, as he was addressing the Corinthians, he said, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. So those were, you know, there are more verses, but two comments from Apostle Paul. Now what Peter is saying, First Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, he says, you know, we all know these verses, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And what about Apostle John? And you know, if you go to Revelation chapter I believe in chapter 14, he says, they will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will triumph over them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. So, you know, we looked at three different authors from the New Testament writings, and all these three agree that all believers are called by God. You know, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. So the Christian calling in Christ is a high calling. And we are encouraged to walk in a manner that worthy of the calling in every age and every aspect of our believer's life. You know, what makes us special, what makes us, our life unique, what makes our life distinctive is the call of God. You know, you are not a Christian if you haven't received a call from God. You are not a Christian unless you are heard and embrace the call. You know, when we talk about the call of God, you know, all of us can immediately remember a person in the Old Testament, isn't it? Who is that? Abraham, isn't it? That is, at least in my mind, when I talk about the call of God, when you go back to the Old Testament, that's the name that comes to my mind immediately. So that's what we are going to go this morning. Genesis chapter 12, few verses from Genesis chapter 12. Okay. Abraham, no doubt, you know, he was one of the greatest individual that ever lived, and we can see from the book of Genesis, this narrative. And he is a great example of what it means to live on the basis of the call of God. And what made Abraham great was actually that he received a call from God. So Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 5, it says, Now the Lord had said to Abram, his name was Abram at that time before his name was changed, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abraham took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. So what was actually Abraham doing, in a spiritually speaking, before the call of God came to him? What kind of life was he leading before he had the encounter with God? And we can see that in the book of Joshua. Joshua, we'll turn to there also, Joshua chapter 24 and verse 2. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 2, he says, And Joshua said to all the people, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, dwelt in the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river, led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. So, what was Abraham doing on the other side of the river? He was with his relatives serving other gods. And then the call of God came to him, isn't it? As we just read. So that is the first point I want to emphasize today. And that is, the call of God is absolutely necessary for us to liberate us from worshiping other gods. Just as Abraham was called personally, we need to hear the call of God personally and individually, unless every one of us, hears the call of God to us personally and individually, unless the call of God comes in and it disturbs us, convicts us, humbles us, and shakes us up. Unless the call of God comes to us and we embrace it, we're just going to be serving other gods like Abraham. You know, sometimes we wonder why there is so much carnality in the church. Why so little enthusiasm for worshiping God? Why so little enthusiasm for the things of God? Why so little time is spent in studying the Word of God? You know, if we haven't embraced the call of God, we are busy worshiping other things than true God. The call of God is an absolute necessity to liberate us from the worship of other gods. You know, it doesn't matter how good your family is. If we haven't embraced the call of God, we will worship other gods. You know, our children are going to be nice. You know, because your parents are nice. They are going to be moral because probably the parents are moral. They are even going to be religious because the parents are religious. And, you know, it is the thing that you do on a Sunday morning, but they are going to be idolaters. They will be worshiping something else if they have not understood the call of God. They are going to live for their career. They are going to live for their money. They are going to live for their status in the society. And something else that they are going to worship if they haven't embraced the call of God. And we will see very little enthusiasm in the church. Very little, you know, we can sit in the pews for years and years and years, but nothing will happen to us unless we understand that we are called and we need to live our life according to the call of God. Just as the call of God liberated Abraham from worshiping other gods of that time and age, personal and individual call of God liberate us from serving other gods of this time and this age. So the first point that I have is to have a victorious, a serious, and enjoyable Christian life, the call of God is an absolute necessity. And the second thing I want to look at is the call of God is also absolutely gracious. The call of God is absolutely gracious. You know, the power of the call is not just seeming that it is absolutely necessary, but also that it is absolutely gracious. See, Abraham is unqualified. He was an unqualified man. He was serving, as we read, other gods. Abraham was not a good guy. He was not a faithful man. But the call of God comes to such a man, and Abraham, what happened to him after the call of God? See, the call of God is an absolute act of grace. It doesn't come to us because we are qualified. We are qualified because it has come to us. Isn't it? It doesn't come because we are qualified, but we are qualified because the call of God has come to us. It is what qualifies us. Not only that, the call of God is absolutely necessary, and also it is absolutely gracious. The next thing I want us to notice is the radical nature of the call of God. Isn't it? A lot of you are saying, okay, it is powerful, but what is it? What is the call of God? What am I called to do? What is the content of the call? Let us look at the portion we just read in Genesis. And it says, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. You notice the word blessed is repeated. Now, let me show you how transforming this call is and what this call is. First, it is personally a radical call, isn't it? When he says, leave your country, in the old King James Version, it would say, get thee out. Get thee out. Isn't it? Because there are two Hebrew words here, I understand, not one. Literally, God is saying, go yourself out. Get yourself out. You get out. Do you know why? You know, you all know this story very well. And the whole group, you know, the whole bunch that started, Terah and Nahor and the children of Haran and Abram, they had all set out for Canaan together. And they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan, but they stopped at Haran. That's what the scripture portion says. They stopped at Haran. They didn't want to go any further. That was it. You know, they had been called to go to Canaan, but they stopped in Haran. That's the reason God doesn't just say, leave your country. He doesn't just say, get out. He says, get yourself out. This is what he's saying. Abraham basically is having a little conversation with God. He's saying, well, you know, God, I have come halfway. This is as far as, you know, Dad and everybody else wants to go. You know, Nahor and all the other guys, you know, this is where they want to stop. I just can't get them to go any further. They like it here. And this is where we're going to stop. I have come halfway. So what is God saying here? He's saying, get yourself out. Then you get out. Isn't it? That is the call of God. It is a very radical nature of the call. He's saying it is not good enough to be part of a religious movement. You know, it is not good enough for you to say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm born in a Christian family. And I always attended the church and I'm there on Sunday morning. I attend the Sunday school. But it is not enough to be part of something with a Christian name attached to it. It is not enough just to be part of a Christian environment. You know, we all feel good when we are around Christians. You know, you probably like the Christian fellowship. But the question is, have I personally met God? Have you gotten out yourself from the movement and embraced the call of God? Has the call of God, you know, penetrated you as an individual? Have you made the personal commitment? It's personal. You can come, you cannot come in on anybody else's coattails. You know, it has to be your own faith. You know, there is also another reason the call of God is transforming. Because at the heart of the matter, the call of God is a surrender of our own will, isn't it? The call to Abraham was, get out of your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. You know, it's a terrible call if you look at it on our own standpoint, isn't it? He doesn't say you take this route and go so many miles this way, you know, and take a turn there, and you get to this point, and so on. He just says, get out. But I am not going to tell you where you are going to go. You know, a few months ago, Ashley had made a study, a series on the will of God. Have to know the will of God, right? You know, if you have a calling, you go, and the will of God will be done in your life, in my life, if we listen and embrace the call of God. What will be our answer to such a call? You know, we will say, I'll get out if you'll show me where you are taking me. If you'll show me exactly what you want me to do and exactly where you're going to have me go, I will do it. If you do that, if we say that, we are not answering the call, isn't it? You are staying in control of our own life. You are not surrendering your will to the call of God. You are saying that I'm going to be sitting on this throne and I will tell myself what I should do and where I will go. You know, what you're saying is I'll be happy to go if I know where I'm going and if it makes sense to me. God actually says to Abram, get out. And Abraham says, where? And what is God's answer? He says, I will show you later. And later he going to say, I will give you a son of promise. And Abraham says, how? And God says, I will show you later. And finally, he goes to the top of the mountain, and God says to go to the top of the mountain and put your son to death. And Abraham says, why? And God says, I will show you later. You just climb the mountain now. You know, that is literally, that is what Christianity is all about. It is personal call to surrender to the absolute will and absolute power of God. The greatness of our Christian life will depend on the degree to which we are willing to surrender to the will of God who called us and who separated us. You know, Christianity is, if we embrace the call of God, we are going to be radically changed. God is telling us, don't ask me whether or not what I'm about to do will fit your agenda, because Christianity is a whole new agenda. Don't say, how is this going to enrich my life? Christianity is a whole new life. What does it mean to answer the call of God? It is to get out, not knowing where you are going. You know, that's what Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8 says. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8 actually summarizes this chapter in Genesis, Genesis 12. And he says, God said to Abram, get out. And so he went out, not knowing where he was going. You know, unless you say to the Lord, I will do whatever I discern as your will unconditionally from here on in, we are not obeying the will of God for our life. You know, you are not a Christian if you say, I will obey if. I will obey if it looks like it fits in. We are not a Christian until we have taken our hands off our life and surrendered our will to the will of God. Now, I want to look at starting from verse 2, a few verses. If you look at it, it says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You know, if you look at this, it says, I will bless you, and we should ask why. The answer is given here that you may be a blessing. Because through you, all the families and all and the people of the earth will be blessed. To become a Christian is to be changed. So now you're not making your decisions on the basis of what is the most comfortable for me. Where do I live that's most comfortable? What job do I take that's the best for my safety and my comfort and my influence and my status? You don't make your decision like that anymore. The call of God reshapes us. And you are asking yourself the question, where can I be a blessing to others? Where can I be used most so that I can be a blessing to others? You know, see, the call of God goes like this. If you seek to be blessed, you will come up empty. If you seek to bless others, I will bless you. If you live for the blessing that you may be a blessing, God only blesses that you may be a blessing to others. Then you can say, you know, well, then how can I be a blessing? The answer is, as we said earlier, we have to get out. We have to get out, and I will bless you that you may be a blessing. You know, it shouldn't surprise us that, you know, what God says here. If you are willing to get out, I will make you a great nation. I will make you a blessing. If you want to stay in safety, if you want to keep a, you know, very tidy, very manageable, comfortable little life, you're not going to be much of a blessing to anybody else. You know, to the degree you are willing to get out of the familiar circumstances, safe, comfortable, and God says, I will bless you in order that you may be blessing. I will appear to you and I will come into your life. You know, somebody is out there now saying, you know, but practically speaking, how in the world do you bring that into our own life? You know, you can say, well, I don't understand how in the world I could bring myself to surrender to the will of God like that, to make that kind of a commitment. You know, here is the answer here. You say, Abraham heard, you know, all of these promises, but there was one promise under all of these promises. There was one promise key to every other promise that he received. He was going to be a nation, but first, he had to have an offspring. A son, you know, he was going to have a nation of his people, but first, he had to have a son. He was going to have a great name. He was going to be a blessing to all those who are around him. He was going to become a great leader, but all those promises hinged on one promise, and that was he had to have a son, isn't it? And everything came to that one promise. But remember, Sarah was barren and Abraham was old. That meant the son was going to be an act of miraculous grace. Here is what God is saying, Abraham, you can't qualify yourself for this. You just have to live with faith in the son that I'm going to give you. You have to live out the faith in that, and as you live, as if I am going to give you a son, and if you live on the basis of that promise, everything else will come true. You know, now we know that the promise on Isaac points us towards the real son, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, look at Lord Jesus. He received a call. He heard the call of God, and he got himself out. You know, in Psalm 40 and verse 7 and 8, it says, behold, I come. In the volume of the books it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. And we read a portion this morning. Though we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor. You know, in John chapter 4 and verse 34, it says, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. He had a call. He was told to leave your father's house and obey the call. You know, and we sing about the call. You know, we sing, he left his father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. You know, he left the ultimate father's house. He left the ultimate security. He had the real security, but he left it. He left it and listened to the call of God because he did it for us. If you say, I will never be able to handle this kind of life, this kind of surrender of my will, we are actually forgetting something, isn't it? Something, someone already handled it for you. You know, somebody already heard the call in degrees of depths beyond anything that we are going to be asked to do. You may be asked to follow Christ to gain more of Christ. But Jesus Christ answered the call and he lost his father, isn't it? It says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In other words, he went out for you and for me so we can go out for him. He lost the ultimate security for us. Now we can certainly lose a little security for him. Because we remember we have the ultimate security in him. We can afford to do without worshiping these little other gods that we see around us. No matter how great it looks, no matter how glittery it looks, no matter how it invites you how inviting it is. We can do without it. Let the call of God, if we allow the call of God to come to our life, and if we hear that call, if we surrender our life to the will, remember, it is the call that makes our life unique. It is a call that makes our life different. Even though it is a gracious call, we are not qualified to receive the call, but the call is qualifying us. And it is a call to surrender our will and to forsake the other gods that is in our lives, no matter what it is. We are not here, and I remember Brother Kelly always stressed the point that we are not here to buy houses and big cars and going after money. In itself, it's nothing bad about it. But if we make it that as our God, we will lose the enjoyment of our fellowship with God. In the beginning I said, somebody told me, I sound like Winnie the Pooh. One thing Winnie the Pooh likes is honey, right? Winnie the Pooh likes honey. And I love honey. I like sweet things. But I learned to love the Word of God. I learned to love the enjoyment of the Word of God. I can sit before the Word of God and it works in your heart in such a way that you just don't want to put that book down. And I think we need to come to that point that we surrender our life to Him, that we may be a blessing to others. Let's pray. Our Father, we come into Thy presence this morning. And Father, we thank You for Thy word. Thank You for the power of Thy word. Thank You for the sweetness of Thy word. And Father, this morning we remember that all of us are called. Every one of us who are believers, those who are put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, are called. And Father, we truly acknowledge that we are not qualified. But Father, we thank You for that gracious call that has come to us in different times and at different places. And we have answered the call. And Father, now we pray that Thou may give us the heart to embrace the call and live a life that is worthy of that high calling with which You are called. And Father, we pray that Thou may help us to forsake those things that we see here now for a short time, but yet of no use to us for in our eternal life. But it can harm our spiritual life. It can take away the joy of our walk with the Lord. Father, we pray that Thou may help us to forsake those things, not to put our trust in it, but Father, to put our trust in the one who forsook all, one who became poor, so that we may become rich, that we may followers of Him, that we may also enjoy the richness of the Word of God and richness of the sweetness of following Christ. And Father, we pray that Thou may be with us the rest of the time that we spend here. Bless us with Thy presence in our daily life. And Father, we pray and ask all these in the very precious and holy name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.